message, and he cannot lie. So if he said it, it's going to come to pass, Sister LaToya. The promises of God are yea and amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This morning, if I can get Brother Dempsey and Brother Duran to help me, I got some paper. It's back there on the sound booth. I got some paper and some pens. This is what happens when you're in children's ministry for so long. You got to have an object lesson. We're going to pass these papers and this pen out, and we're going to write the promises that God has given us but has not yet come to pass. We're going to write it down. We're going to make it plain. And then at the end of the service, we're going to give them back to God. You can be seated. There are moments in life when God seems silent. We've prayed, we've fasted, we've cried, and yet heaven feels like it's on pause. Is there anybody this morning that can tell or be a witness that say, Brother Harper, I've prayed and it feels like the words just come out of my mouth and fall directly to the ground. There's sometimes when we pray and we beseech the throne of God, Brother Brown, that it doesn't feel like our words even leave the atmosphere. Our dreams feel like they're on hold. Our promises feel distant. And in those moments, we're tempted to believe that delay means denial. The prophet Habakkuk found himself in a similar situation. In chapter 1, he cries out to God about injustice and violence, and he receives an answer that leaves him even more confused. But we find in chapter 2, he does something powerful. He takes his place upon a watchtower, determined to wait for a word from the Lord, and God answers. God doesn't rebuke the prophet. Instead, he says, write the vision. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not be delayed. God reminds the prophet, and he reminds us today, that delay does not mean the same thing as denial. So this morning I want to talk to you or preach to you for a little bit this morning on this thought: delayed but not denied. Delayed but not denied. This morning, I know there are people that are living in the tension between the promise and the fulfillment. To those who are waiting for healing, to those that are waiting for breakthrough, those that are waiting for restoration and even revival, I've come to preach to you a word this morning. This word is an on-time word. Pastor told me last night, he said, you ought to be ready. You've been trying to preach for a month. Little did he know that this word has been delayed, but it's for an appointed time. Today is the day. The just shall live by faith. You just have to hold on. Your answer is on the way. Amen? We will always have seasons of struggles and testing. There are times that when everything we attempt to do will seem to go wrong. Regardless of our prayers, our consecration, our fasting, it seems like the adversary throws up every type of weapon. I've come to tell you this morning that you cannot pray away God's seasons. The Lord has a purpose in not allowing us all to be fruitful at the same time or continually. We need seasons of strengthening. These periods destroy our pride in our own ability and reinforce our dependency on the sufficiency for God. You don't believe me? Go ask Paul. Paul asked thrice for it to be taken from him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I've come to tell you this morning that the promises of God are yea and amen. It may seem like you are denied, but let me tell you, write it down and make it plain, for it will not tarry. It's coming. What a shock it is to find that the same people who have been fruitful at one period experience struggle at other times. When God sends the chilly winds of winter to blow our circumstances, Brother Dempsey, we must still trust in Him. Despite our dislike for the blinding winds and the icy grips of a winter season, there is a purpose in these temporary inconveniences. Paul calls such times as light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let me tell you, it's not always going to be this way, Brother Brown. It's not always going to be an icy winter. It's not always going to be that the storms of life roll. But I've come to tell somebody today, if you'll just hold on, the time between promise and fulfillment is just around the corner. To this, it too shall pass. Some things are not meant to be changed by prayer and fasting. I need you to hear me. Some things are not meant to be changed by prayer and fasting. But we have to survive. We have to walk through, for it brings about the glory of the Father. So if it's not in God's plan for you to pray the affliction away, there's only one thing that you have to do. You have to outlive the circumstance. I said you have to outlive the circumstance. I've come to remind you this morning, we are not denied. We're just delayed. Whatever He said He will do, He's going to complete, because He's not only the author of our faith, but He's also the finisher. And whatever good work He has started, I've come to tell you this morning, the same thing that He started, He's faithful unto the end. And whatever He has begun, He will complete. There are some good things that come from the silence, from the still, from the moments when life seems to be dragging us. Because sometimes, let's be honest, when we're in a season of fruitfulness, can't nobody keep up with us. They can't outpray us. They can't out-worship us, Pastor. They can't out-fast us. They can't out-read their Bible. But there are days and there are seasons that we will enter into where it seems like all we can do is just barely tread above water. It's in these frosty arms of winter, the forest silently refurbishes its strength, preparing for its next season of fruitfulness. Its branches rocking in the wind. The sap and the substance of the tree undergo. It's not goodbye. It's just, I'm waiting till spring. I'm waiting till the first morning where the sun begins to shine. And I can stretch out those branches full of the Holy Ghost, full of promise, and say, today is the day. Temporary setbacks create opportunities for fresh commitment and renewal. Pastor, you've probably been praying a lot more than you have in your previous seasons. You've probably been in the Word a lot more than your previous seasons. But if you were to record your accomplishments, you would notice that your most faithful seasons are just that. They're seasons. There's seasons. There are seasons of sunshine as well as seasons of rain. Pleasure comes and then pain and then vice versa. Each stage has its own purpose. The Bible tells us that He takes us from glory to glory. But from glory to glory, there has to be a time of renewal and recommitment. There has to be a time where He can draw you closer to Him. Because He said the latter house, that means in the future, is going to be greater than that of the former house. So your later glory is going to be greater than your prior glory. Man, it's hot up here. One of the greatest struggles I have encountered is the temptation to make permanent decisions based on my temporary circumstance. Someone said that patience is a tree whose root is bitter, but oh, its fruit is sweet. Someone, they were very smart when they said that, because the root is bitter. But if you ever bite into the fruit of an apple tree, man, you bite into one that's really had the nutrients, that's been tended well. Brother Brown, when you bite into it, that apple juice will just run down your chin. Down your chins. Well, at least my chins. I wouldn't advise you to eat the root of an apple tree. The reward of patience is reflected in gradually not having to amend your amendments. Temporary circumstances, listen to me, temporary circumstances do not always require action. It tells us when you've done all you can do to stand, when you've prayed all the prayers, when you fasted all the meals, when you've cried all the tears, Sister Brown, all you have to do is just stand. Not everything requires us to do something. Job said it like this, though they slay me, yet I will trust Him. We cannot trust a God that we do not talk to. And I would say that we shouldn't only go to God in prayer when we need something. He doesn't need to be our Santa Claus genie savior. Oh God, if you just do this, I'll be faithful. God's faithful anyways. Let us be faithful. Let us always be abounding in His love. God needs men and women who are decisive, yes? We need people who are decisive. Prayer is the seasoning of good judgment. Without it, our decisions will not be palatable. Because if you make a lasting, everlasting decision on a temporary feeling, it breeds regret. Oh, I should have waited. I just should have held out a little bit longer. Brother Dempsey, if you would have just went and asked for it, you could have got it, but the first thing might not have happened. But you waited. You were waiting, right? The other thing come to pass, you told me? That's right. Because not every situation needs an action. Habakkuk 2 and 3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come." It will not tarry. Our struggle is in waiting for the appointment that we have with destiny. Perhaps I should first point out that God is a God of order. He does everything, Sister LaToya, by appointment. He has set a predetermined appointment to bring a past His promise into our lives. That's why I find it difficult, or I see this, that God rarely moves in the actions that we can control with our own flesh and blood. If we have the ability to change the situation, it's highly doubtful that God's going to move in that. Our struggle is waiting for our destiny. Though the many tempestuous winds that blow against our lives, God has already prepared a way of escape. Our comfort is in knowing that we have an appointed time with destiny. There are some promises here this morning that have not yet been fulfilled. I like to go to Hebrews chapter 11 when I'm in a situation between promise and fulfillment. Because it says, by faith and through faith. But there are some those that died in the faith. There are those that died in the faith. They never let their faith go. They always held on to that thing that God promised. This morning, you're not denied, you're just delayed. Because I know this, Brother Brown, Satan can't touch that what God has already predestinated. So if He's already given you a word this morning, let me tell you, though the seas may blow, and though the seas may rage and the winds blow, let me tell you, He can't touch you because the promises of God are yea and amen. So it doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. If you have a promise, know that it's not always going to be like this. I may not see the end, but I know that the end is coming. I can't see the miracle in its final form, but I know there is a miracle in the making. I may not be able to see the return to the house of God, but I know that the Father has a ring and He has a robe and He's fattening a calf. You may not be able to see what the end result is this morning, but we can rest assured that we have an appointment with destiny. Oh, you may have to pray your way through it. And you may have to worship through the night. You're going to have to declare the word through the trial. We must be like a tree planted by the waters. We must not be moved. We must be anchored in Jesus. God knows when we have reached the time of our germination. He knows the season in which we are mature enough to handle the promise. Our confidence is in God's seed. When the promise is grown in the fertile ground of faith, of a faith-filled heart, and reach the time of maturity, it will come to pass. It will be a direct result of the presence of God. It kind of reminds me, and this just entered into my mind, that God cursed the tree that did not produce in the off season. Why was that? Did it lack nutrients? Did it lack the husbandryman feeding it what it needed? Did it need to be pruned back and it did not receive a pruning? This morning, it is not by human might, neither is it by our own power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. The psalmist David said, "My times are in thy hand." This morning, our promises are in the hand of a faithful God. I can remember at a very early age, a very young age, I just knew that I was going to be a preacher. I didn't think about anything else. I was going to be a preacher. With all the mischief that I caused as a child and all the rebellious things I'd done as a teenager, Brother Brown, there was still something on the deep inside of my heart that knew that God had a calling upon my life. But I knew one day that I was going to have an appointment with destiny. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, I didn't know when it was going to come to pass, but God had a purpose for my life. I believe this morning that there's an ordination in all of us to accomplish certain things for the Lord in our lifetime. Somewhere in the recesses of your mind, there should be an expected end. For me, it comes in dreams. I see myself in certain places sharing the gospel, Brother Brown. I see myself in certain groups of people that maybe they don't look like us, maybe they don't act like us, they don't talk like us, they don't live their life like us. Right now, I'm in the middle of one of those seasons right now. I couldn't have dreamed it or orchestrated it, but God has placed me as for such a time as this. And I believe that there are those type of encounters for everybody this morning. We must have the kind of tenacity that it takes to speak to the enemy and tell him, my life cannot end without certain things coming to pass. It is not over until God says it's over. Pastor, when you got here, God gave you some promises, did He not? Some of you, did not God give you some promises and they've not come to pass? Take faith this morning that it's not over. It's not over. I want you to know that even if circumstances contradict purpose, God's purpose will always prevail. It is in the opposition that clearly demonstrates that God is working. Because let me tell you, if our adversary wasn't working so hard against us, then we would be like, well, maybe God's done with me. Maybe I'm just washed up. Maybe I've already expired past my date of freshness. I hate going to the refrigerator and wanting a glass of cold milk. Yeah, Pastor, smile. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He knows where I'm going. I know some old-timers that poured in some cornbread and eat it. Yeah. Not me. It drives me to absolutely insanity that we would allow something so good and refreshing as milk to expire past its date of freshness. I've come to tell you this morning and declare to you, you have not went past your expiration date. You can believe it if you want to. God still has a work for this church. God still has a work collectively, and God still has a work individually. It may be delayed, but it's not been denied. Perhaps your loved one or your child is veering away from what you do believe is their destiny or to their predestinated end. Let me tell you, truth smashed down to the ground will rise again undaunted. You don't believe me? You're looking at somebody like that. I can remember sitting back there about 7 or 8 years ago, Pastor can tell you, with just a scowl look on my face. Backslidden, bad, mean, ugly. I'm still ugly. Back there in a backslidden state. Oh, I felt the anointing of God. I knew what it felt like to walk in His presence, but something had happened. Oh, but look at me now. Look at me now. Truth smashed down to the ground will rise again undaunted. Because I have a predestined end. It may seem impossible, Brother Brown, but God knows how to make all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We're delayed, but we're not denied. Psalms 40, verses 1 and 3, Brother Desmond says, I patiently waited for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. Listen, that's not just an old song that we sing about, but that is a promise of God. He is going to pull you up out of the miry clay, and He's going to set your feet upon a rock. To say, and it says, and He established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it and reverence God. And because of that, they will trust in Him. Because of your personal testimony. Because of what you've had to endure through the night. Because of the circumstances. Pastor, because of what you're going through, many shall see it and they're going to trust in God. If they'll do it for Him, He'll do it for me. If He'll do it for you, He'll do it for me. If He'll do it for us, He'll do it for them out there. The real test of faith is in facing that silence of being put on hold. Those are the suspended times of indecision. Well, do I look for a new job? Do I go ask somebody for a loan? Do I need to move? Do I need a divorce? I'm going to preach right at the front door this morning. Are they ever going to get their stuff together? Is this ever going to be a union where God's at the center of it? In those times of suspended answers, have you ever faced those times when your life just seems stagnant? I have. For about 3 months. Here, about 2.5 months ago, from March to about 1.5 months ago. I even questioned why we were doing here. Well, I know we're here for the brother and sister Knowles. We know we're here for the church. But outside of that, why are we here? Because we're not... We're called for a kingdom purpose. I'll be honest with you. My wife will tell you, what's my purpose here? Why are we called here? We know. But it's in those times when life doesn't seem to be moving forward and stagnant. Have you ever felt like you were on the verge of something phenomenal? That you were waiting for that particular breakthrough that seemed to be taunting you by making you wait? Oh, I have. I have. And it's ugly. All of us today have faced days that seemed as though God has forgotten us. These are the moments that feel like eternity. These silent coaches take your patience into a strenuous calisthenics. You get up in the morning, your feet hit the floor, you go to God in prayer. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for the breath that is in my lungs. I thank You for the Holy Ghost. I thank You for the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. I thank You for my spouse, God. I thank You for my children. I thank You for this house, God. I thank You for providing for us. I thank You for our church family. I thank You for a pastor and a pastor's wife who loves us. I thank You for placing us in a place, God, where we can be used and ministry can go forth. And all those prayers are prayed, and they're prayed in sincerity. But there's just one thing in the back of your mind. God, will you ever deal with that thing? Will You ever take that situation and make it new? Am I the only one? Thank You, Brother Brown. It's in God's timing that we must learn. He synchronizes His answers to accomplish His purpose. Occasionally, while traveling on any major airline, you are told that the plane will not be able to land at its scheduled time. The air traffic control at the time will instruct the pilot to maintain an altitude of so many feet and hold a pattern. What a strange place to have to wait. in the air. Seemed a little dangerous to me. Seemed a little careless. Seemed like somebody should have prepared better. Should have seemed like somebody may have taken off earlier where I could land on time. I don't know about you, but I've often felt like that aircraft suspended in the air when God says, "Hey, bubs, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. Not right now." And why is it that when God tells us to wait, we act like my 5-year-old, pitch a fit, scream, "You don't love me!" I didn't tell him no. I just said, "Not right now." Because right now is not the appropriate time. I've got something. I got something that I want to happen in your life. Just not right now. I got some other things on the back burner. But when it all comes to fruition, you're going to know it. But God says, "Wait." And the captain speaks on the PA system. He says, "We're going to be assuming a holding pattern until further notice. More instructions will come from the tower." And so here we are, between promise and fulfillment. And what do we do between promise and fulfillment? It's where we receive strength. It's where He pulls us in close and says, "You know what? I know. I hear your cries. I hear your impatient wailings. I see you pitching a fit. But just know that you have to wait just a little bit longer." The anxious looks and the acidic remarks that come from those in the crowded aisles, as the stewardess quickly eased people's fears, she informed several worried passengers that the plane always carries enough of fuel to withstand the delays of the control tower. Can I tell you that our faith must carry us from the delayed to the breakthrough? There has to be a calm assurance on the face of the believers. I guess we would have to attribute it to the fact that we have prepared Brother Brown for a delay. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." Now, as we begin to wonder, as little children, shouldn't have God been better prepared, or shouldn't we, as children of God, been better prepared in our lives when God speaks from His throne, "I need you to assume a holding pattern. Pastor, I did good for a month or two. When they canceled my job, had to live on my savings account, 300 resumes submitted, and nothing. Didn't tell nobody, Pastor, my wife, only ones that knew. Come to church, Brother Brown and I worship, because I just knew that God, I just knew that He had done it before. Brother Duran, I knew that He'd already worked in my life once before for me. Brother Banks, I'd already seen His unfailing hand. I seen His faithfulness in my life time and time again. But after 2 months, I've always had a job. I've always had a way to provide for my family, but God knew what He was doing, because He just wasn't preparing my heart, but He was preparing a whole company. I'm talking about 150 people. Not just to bring about the gospel, the full gospel. I had a compliment given to me this week by one of my subordinates. He said, "Mr. Jonathan," he said, "out of all the Pentecostals that I've met, you're probably one of the most balanced and sensible believers I've ever met." Amen. I said, "I appreciate that." I said, "But you've never seen me at church. You've never seen me when I get into the presence of God. You've never seen me when I've seen God do the miraculous. I said, but thank you. I said, what I have, you can have also. And here's the thing. The greatest compliment that I've ever been paid has been from somebody that said, I don't know how you withstood the test, but you were standing in faith the whole time. I'm going to tell you what, it's not about the victories. God doesn't get as much glory for my victories as He does through our battles and through our tests. Because we are epistles read of all men. And let me tell you, it's easy to dance and shout when you got a steady check coming from the federal government. Hey, it's easy to juke and jive and speak in tongues when your children are living for the Lord. It's easy when all of life seems to be nothing but a bed of roses. But true victory, I'm talking about true victory comes when we can stand in the face of adversity, when we can stand through the night and say, you know what? I know that tonight has got to end at some point. Let me ask you this morning, do you have enough of faith to receive? Sometimes it's this, do you have enough faith to assume a holding pattern and wait for the fulfillment of the promise? Jesus said, go ye tarry in Jerusalem. Go tarry. Go wait. Because the promise had been given. Joel 2. The day of transfiguration, he said, you still got but a little time longer. Go wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father be fulfilled. The Lord knows where you are. And He knows how much you have left in your reserve. And just before you run out, I promise you, just before your bank account runs out, just before your faith tank runs empty, just before you loose your hand from that rope's knot, God will send a wind to blow back the waters of impossibility and provide for you. Stand this morning. You're just delayed, and God has not forgotten you. The anointing is going to flow again. You just have to go through the process. Before the anointing or before the oil of the olive can flow, the skin has to be broken. Before the anointing oil can flow, that olive has to go through the pressure between the grinding stone and the stone from which it is crushed. Getting ready for this message, I feel like the Lord started giving me some things. I don't know, call them what you want to. Brother Thomas, Sister Latoya, the Lord showed me y'all. The anointing that you used to flow in is going to flow again. It's going to flow from a different vein. It's going to flow to different people, to a different circle, and there's going to be more giftings. It's coming. You just have to wait on it. You got to trust the process. Brother Dempsey, where you at? Where'd you go? Good night. The ministry that you have is going to be a generational ministry. What you start, your children will see it through, and your grandchildren will carry it. Brother and Sister Brown, your calling's made room for you. It's due season. That anointing that I told you last year, Brother Brown, is going to come on you just like that. And you're going to walk in the Spirit. You got giftings come to you, not just to you, but to your wife. Sister Brown, you're going to work in the gifts because God has an appointed time for you. The Lord said there are unseen ministries in the house. There's had to be some weeding out. The Lord sometimes has to remove things that are not healthy to the body for the growth of the body to take place. And in doing, sometimes it feels like we will never get to where we desire, because it feels like we take one step forward and two steps back. But I feel that the Lord has showed me the church as a field. Pastor, Sister Knowles, you've been taking care of the field. You've been tending to the soil. You've been giving it water. You've been sowing in the different seasons, seasons of plenty, seasons where it seems scarce. You've been pulling the weeds. You've been praying for rain. You've been praying for the harvest. This is what I believe the Lord has shown me. He has purposed in this season that the seeds planted will now begin to spring forth from the dirt, that this is the day that growth can be seen. It is due season at Hia. In due season, if we faint not. God's records are so complete that the hair on our head is numbered. He doesn't just know how many is there collectively, but He knows each and every one of them individually. He knows how many has fallen out this morning in the shower. He knows how many you combed out last night before you went to bed. And if He knows that, then you should know that He has your family. He has your tithe. He has your faithfulness in His view. How much more would God watch over you if He already watches the numerical order of your hair? No wonder David declared, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" My friend, God's mind is full of you. Today, even in those moments of absolute stagnation in your life, God is working an expected end for your good. This morning, as we gather around to the front, I want you to bring those promises that you wrote on that little paper, because we are going to write it down. We're going to make it plain. It shall not tarry, because God has a predestined destiny. As we bring our promises that have not come to pass, let us not be weary and well-doing, because now is due season. We have not been weary. We have stayed the course. We have fought the fight. We have kept the faith. And today is the day that we give these promises and say, "Lord, in your time, we know you are faithful. We know that you're going to see it through." Can I declare this morning that it is due season at POPC? When Noah had been held up a long time, the Bible says, "And God remembered Noah." Take those up, Brother Brown, if you will. Even when I can't see it, He's moving. When I can't see the end in sight, I know God is still in control. And when there's only more questions than answers, I know that He's working it out for my good. I know the promise has been given, but the result is just delayed. He has given me, Brother Duran, an expected end. This morning, can we rejoice in knowing that the time has come, that now is due season.